Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also want to encourage you to watch our TV program that's on public access channel number 6 from 8 to 8:30 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources, these TV programs, these radio programs, all of them are on our website. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you understand your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. For the past few months, we've been looking at the subject of sin. And last week, we are continuing discussion of the sin of division. We want to read, as we begin this morning, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. James 3, beginning in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make for peace. Herein lies the discussion of true wisdom. One can stand firm for the truth and still be gentle and considerate. Division is not from God. Faction, the root word, means to spin wool, then to spin for hire and later to do something for hire, emphasized later, placed only on wages or benefits. Came to apply to selfishness in any area, translated self-seeking or selfish ambition. Pride and self-interest lie at the root of fighting among brethren. Selfishness is from above, according to verse 14. Pride is not always to detect in a congregation. Lying and gossip, slander, are at the root of this problem. Tension is thick. Even have a knot in your stomach as you approach the building. What if we are hoping that no visitors are present? Time for a change in the way that we are thinking and the way we're conducting ourselves. Peace is from God. With this attitude, saturates the congregation in its pleasure to worship and work together. Warmth and closeness that motivates others to greater service. Enjoy being in each other's presence in and out of the assembly. That is the attitude and that is the goal that we should always strive for. Fruit only seen when sown in peace. Trying to plant the seed of righteousness in a soil that is poisoned by strife and division will be counterproductive. Would you plant a new lawn and then spray grass killer on it every day? Congregations always in turmoil do not grow. As has been said before, sometimes what a church needs are a few funerals. In James 4 and verse 12, we continue looking at the manner of attitudes. Quarrels and conflict result from selfishness and pride. They will lead to division, showing how intense desire can be and lead us away from God. Like theocracy, certain men love to have the preeminence, as we read in 3 John verse 9. The church is the only place they feel like they can exercise control over others. At work and home, they are told what to do. Some seem to think that it's the local church they can have some authority. Others are in a position of authority and expect to be carried over into the church. When the bickering is over, what has been gained? The church has been damaged and hurt, and its reputation soiled. They usually convince themselves they're standing for the truth to justify their behavior. Strolling around selfishness are jealousy, factions, lust, and envy. Please read James chapter 4, 6 through 10. Humility will eliminate much trouble in the body of Christ if we will have the humble spirit. All of this results in brethren just being judged unjustly. In one sense, we can make some judgment for discipline's sake, as we're told in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. We must be careful not to write our own laws by which we seek to govern the brethren. A study of Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 teaches us how to use our liberty without damaging unity and peace and harmony, and not sowing strife and division. Gives us some additional thoughts in how we should treat one another. Let's note two examples of this occurring in the scriptures. Jesus would eat his last meal with them before the cross. A dispute arose among the apostles concerning who would be the greatest in Luke 22 and verse 24. Did he rebuke them? No. He showed them what it meant to be a servant. He gave them an example. He washed their feet. Did what the slaves usually do for others in John 13, 1 through 15. He even washed the feet of Judas. In the mind of many, the greater you are, the less you serve. This subject does not come up much in the church, but it could be lurking silently in the background. Those who are willing to serve without the fanfare of others enrich a congregation. Many women and men do countless things in a quiet way to fill an important role in the local church. The church in Corinth was full of division. Read the first few chapters of 1 Corinthians, especially chapter number 1. Following after men made them divided. People can be in one place, but yet be divided. Together in worship, but with factions of spirits, which are not pleasing to the Lord, and so strife and discord. Like a husband and wife, which are living in the same house, but not really living together. Bitterness and resentment can hinder a good relationship, can in marriage, and it certainly will in the Lord's church. Paul identifies one of the causes of carnality in 1 Corinthians 3:3. These allow the fleshy urges to prevail instead of the quiet and meek spirit. Another one that he discussed was pride in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through 20. Should ever give an impression of being so wise, they need not to listen to anyone else. If anyone is always talking instead of listening, that's a bad quality to have. They were puffed up, from the Greek word meaning to blow up or inflate. Always react when their thinking is challenged. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6. Pride keeps one from seeing the value of others because they're so wrapped up in themselves. We all need one another. Schism is division. Please read 1 Corinthians 12, 24 and 25. Division is a sin. Pride brings division. Purging pride requires complete honesty. Do we get upset when others do more than I do? How do we respond when someone offers well-meaning advice? A feeling of spirituality superior could be a problem if we think no one can tell us advice because we already know everything. Now, I want you to understand that division is a work of the flesh, according to the works of the flesh that are listed in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Of the sin of division is clearly a work of the flesh. Of the 16 sins listed, 8 are associated with division. First 3 are sexual sins, next 2 are idolatry, the last 2 deal with drinking and partying, and half deal with brethren fighting among themselves. Remember, that which practice such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the text says, and so we must take that very seriously. Let us look briefly at the 8 terms associated with division in our text. Enmity, that means hatred, describes the animosity between groups and people as well as individuals. Strife, variance, is the outgrowth of viewing someone as an enemy and can result from arguing over words. Could it be we are looking more at each other than in Christ? Look to find fault. This could be an overreaching and overteaching a different doctrine, arguing over words, resulting in arrogance. Jealousy, emulation, from a word translated zeal, it is a resentment that fuels division. Outburst of anger describes one who suddenly blows up over anything and everything. Gradual increases of emotion. Maybe business meetings have erupted into shouting matches. Disputes, that means strife, describes the action of those who are selfishly ambitious and want their way with everything. Dissensions. This is a word meaning standing apart. Aptly describes the situation in many churches as division grows. We stand together or apart. We choose Division is sometimes unavoidable, but only happens after we have properly displayed the fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. Faction, heresies, and parties describe the end of division process and may result in a new congregation or imposing groups within the congregation itself. Cliques can be formed or a party spirit. To draw close circles of friends around us, include no one else, is dangerous and sinful. Trying to get others involved within our inner circle, this is sinful. Churches who have physical families must be careful, and sinful attitudes have resulted in many congregations dividing instead of doctrinal issues over things that should never divide. Envying is the displeasure one feels the good fortune of another, and often leads to resentment. When you feel you have done more and someone else in the congregation gains some recognition, how do you feel? You have taught classes for 15 years, someone begins teaching for only 3 months, and receives more appreciation and praise than you do. How do you feel? Many a local preacher has heard the comparisons of other preachers, especially those who hold meetings where they work. How do you feel? Well, what is your attitude? Are you humble? How can we identify a factionist person? Such people are often critical of others and their efforts. They always want to be in the limelight. Only certain people are invited into their homes. They have home studies and turn them into gripe sessions or sessions which error is taught. He or she refuses to speak to certain people. They team up with and talk to select few about starting a new congregation. They encourage secret meetings. They take a sudden interest in the weak and disgruntled members, hoping to gather their support for an approaching showdown. What should be done with such a person as identified? Well, let's let the Bible tell us. In Romans chapter 16, the Bible gives very clear instructions about what to do with such people. Verse 17 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who do such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." We are to avoid those kind of people. We are to expose them and mark them for what they are, because they are a danger. After two warnings, we must refuse fellowship, according to Titus 3:10-11. Not 3 or 4, must be stopped to lessen the danger that's caused. The sooner they are disciplined, and the better off the church will be. Some have waited until persons or persons have divided the church. They will answer to God. Read Romans chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Division is sinful, and any group of people or individual that causes the church to divide, sows discord, brings in strife, breaks peace and harmony, is going to answer for God. The sin of division is a real problem. And the way that we avoid it is to enact the fruits of the Spirit into our character, and to add the thing to our faith that we looked at earlier by the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. A humble spirit, a kind word, in filling our place, and not being envious or jealous of others and their ability and talents, will go a long way in preventing division. Ladies and gentlemen, division is a sign of being too carnal-minded. We need to be humble, we need to be meek, and we need to consider others more important than ourselves. In doing so, we will avoid the sin of division. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue looking at the subject of sin.